When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to 365 Days with MXM Tune. I'm Maya, a singer, songwriter, video maker, Oakland native, and a personal tennis fan. I'm also a huge fan of history. I love untold stories, gross facts, hidden secrets, anything weird, dark, and funky from the past. And each day I'm going to share one of my favorite deep cuts with you. So let's take a look at today's stories.
It's 365 with MXM Tune. New facts every day, so don't leave too soon. I'm gonna teach you stuff, no, it won't be tough. Gonna go a year till you've had enough. It's 365.
On this day in 1975, Arthur Ashe became the first black man to win Wimbledon, the most famed tournament in tennis. In the final, he defeated Jimmy Connors, who was heavily favored to win. Throughout his career, Ashe also earned the honor of being the first black man to win major tournaments like the US Open and the Australia Open, but his influence extended beyond the tennis court. He also founded an organization to treat HIV and AIDS and won the Presidential Medal of Freedom from Bill Clinton. But first, let's rewind a bit. Arthur Ashe came of age during the height of the United States Civil Rights Movement. In our June 19th episode, we talk about the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Which made racial segregation illegal. But that law only passed when Ashe was already 21 years old and well into his collegiate tennis career. And of course, while the Civil Rights Act was a huge deal in combating United States racism, it's not as though legislation just magically makes prejudice and discrimination go away overnight. If only that were the case, right? In his youth, Ashe trained with Robert Walter Johnson, who's known as the, quote, godfather of black tennis. He founded a free tennis camp for black children in a time when many public courts were segregated, making it hard for black kids to participate in sports. There were other top-ranked black tennis players before Ashe. Johnson also coached Althea Gibson, who became the first black person to win a Grand Slam title in 1956 and earned a total of 11 Grand Slam titles throughout her career. But still, it was exceedingly difficult for black athletes to break the color barrier and compete in integrated sports leagues. After training with Johnson, Ashe played for UCLA, where he studied business and won an NCAA title in 1965. His excellence on the court aside, Ashe was a powerful advocate for better access to education and sports for black children. He raised millions of dollars to fund inner-city tennis centers. He started the United Negro College Fund, and he was a vocal advocate against South African apartheid, a brutal system of racial segregation. He even wrote a three-volume book called A Hard Road to Glory, A History of the African American Athlete, which he said was more important to him than any tennis title. He spent 6 years working with researchers on the project, which was published in 1988. Unfortunately, heart disease ran in Ashe's family. His mother had died from it when she was just 27 years old. At age 36, just 4 years after his historic victory at Wimbledon, Ashe suffered a heart attack. He survived, but he contracted HIV, the virus that leads to AIDS. AIDS is a chronic, life-threatening condition that damages the immune system, making it harder for the body to fight illness and disease. At the time, scientists didn't have comprehensive understanding of how the virus spread. Now, we know it transfers through blood. So doctors gathered that he may have been infected during his heart surgery or a blood transfusion. Now doctors can detect HIV in the bloodstream before using it in a transfusion. In 1992, after publicly sharing his illness, the tennis star founded the Arthur Ashe Foundation for the Defeat of AIDS. He worked to raise awareness about how safe sex and sex education could prevent the spread of HIV, but also, since he was a high-profile star, he was able to show that it's not just IV drug users or men who have sex with men that contract the illness. Now, HIV is much more treatable, and not necessarily a death sentence like it was in the 80s. Other prominent celebrities like Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye and actor Billy Porter have come out as having HIV, yet are still living happy, fulfilled lives. Even though no cure exists, people with HIV can take antiretroviral, medicine that controls the virus, preventing it from causing AIDS. Now people who are at a higher risk of contracting HIV can take PrEP, a medication that prevents you from contracting the illness. Besides that, people of all genders and sexual orientations can get rapid HIV tests, in addition to a wider panel of STD screenings. Safe sex is super important. Ash died of AIDS-related complications in 1993, when he was 49 years old. After his death, he was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom from Bill Clinton. This award is the highest civilian honor in the country. Ash's life was filled with struggles, from being a public advocate for HIV prevention to being a Black male athlete in a newly desegregated country. But even as Black tennis stars like Serena and Venus Williams have redefined the game, Black athletes still face significant challenges. Today, Naomi Osaka, a Black Japanese tennis player, is one of the tennis court's greatest stars. She's been a vocal advocate for Black Lives Matter, but earlier this year, she stated that during the French Open, she wouldn't participate in press conferences, a decision she was making for her mental health. First off, we should commend Osaka and anyone who makes difficult decisions to prioritize their own well-being. But the tournament fined her $15,000 and threatened to expel her from the tournament for refusing to do interviews. So, she withdrew. Athletes like Arthur Ashe made undeniable impacts on how Black athletes are treated in professional sports. But even today, athletes like Osaka can't simply play the game on their own terms. Now let's talk about music. Today, in 2011, the single Somebody That I Used to Know by Gotye, featuring Kimbra, was released. The song sold 13 million copies worldwide, making it one of the best-selling digital singles of all time. The single Shape of You by Ed Sheeran takes the cake there, with 41.5 million sales. Plus, it reached the top 10 in more than 30 countries around the world, making it the kind of song that you couldn't avoid or get enough of. Gotye may have earned 3 Grammys for this hit, but he's been quiet since then. But hey, not everyone is cut out for the spotlight. To follow up his album Making Mirrors, he worked with the National Film and Sound Archives in Australia to debut an interactive sound and light sculpture. He's called himself more of a, quote, tinkerer than a musician, and that's totally fine. As recently as July 2020, Gotye has released a live album, and he plays in a band called The Basics, which has been active since 2002. And now for our final segment of today's show, I'll be going into my own photo archives to see what I was up to on a July 5th in my life. July 5th, 2017, I went on a bunch of college tours. I went to visit Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, which was a choice school for me. I think for architecture I was applying for it there. I did not get in. I did, however, visit the campus. My brother ended up doing some work there, too, and it was a very cool school, but I'm glad I didn't end up going to college for obvious reasons. It worked out for me, but I was definitely, I think I was on a bunch of different college campus tours that week to see where I might potentially end up going to school. Surprise, surprise, didn't end up doing that. I am thankful that I made the decision to postpone college for myself until some other point in my life, but I still want to go. I still want to go to college. I really love learning and I like being in a classroom environment and I like doing homework. And I know that sounds so nerdy and counterintuitive, but it's true. And maybe I'll go back at some point in the future. Thanks for going back in time with me and remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You can come back tomorrow for more stories from the past.
It's 365 with MXM2. New facts every day, so don't leave too soon. I'm gonna teach you stuff, no, it won't be tough. Gonna go a year till you've had enough. It's 365.